This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station. And good morning, my friend. Welcome to the July 20th edition of the Wednesday Morning Talk Show. I'm Terry Toad, alongside is everybody's favorite uncle, Uncle Ralph Niehaus, who, in spite of the fact he still has to wear the shades, I think you look pretty darn spiffy in those shades, Uncle Ralph.
Cool. Joe Cool.
Yeah, Joe Cool. You qualify.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, I take these off.
You qualify for a lot of things, but.
Yeah, if I took these off in about 30 seconds, the bright lights would be eating that eye up, so I just give up and wear them.
Like I said, I think after this condition has come and gone, I still think you ought to stick with the shades, man.
Yeah, I might just do that.
It's pretty good look.
And maybe take a page from Steve's book, turn my collar up a little. But one thing I refuse to do is get rid of this.
Get rid of the hat?
No, the hair.
Oh, the hair.
Okay. I ain't letting that grow.
Okay. Well, I so very seldom see you without a hat.
Yeah.
It's quite odd.
You believe it or not, there's people who don't recognize me if I don't have
a hat.
Well,
yeah, there are people like that. And you're one of those guys that, oh, my God, he's doesn't have a hat on.
Yeah.
Is that really Ralph?
I was born with a cap.
Were
on.
You?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, yeah.
And you wear it well. As Rod Stewart used to say.
It's part of my costume.
He's a farmer by day, superhero by night.
Yeah.
Joining us in studio, our good friend Mickey Robinson from the Coal Country Chamber and our good friend Steve Davis, who's going to be appearing at the final concert at the Benilde Summer Concert Series next Tuesday. Steve, it is good to see you again, my friend.
You
are looking well.
I'm feeling well, Terry, and thanks for having me. And Uncle Ralph, thanks. Good to see you, Mickey. Our executive producer for all these many years.
And yes, yes.
Once again, brings us to our semi-annual reunion here at the station.
And Mickey, how are you this fine day, sir?
Trying to recover from last night.
But you had a pretty good turnout in spite of the heat, didn't you?
Amazing.
That heat index so high. Ralph made me go back and count it twice, two more times. He didn't believe the number. And at first, I didn't believe the number. 239 people come in and suffered with that 108 heat index we had last night.
But again, you had some shade there.
Oh, we had a lot of shade there. Yeah, under the pavilion and on the east side was plenty of it. And there was probably a dozen people, dozen cars there that had their motors running and air conditioned, and they just rolled the window down and we listened to it too.
And once the sun got down behind the trees in the pavilion there, it really wasn't that bad. There was a little breeze from time to time, and it wasn't all that bad.
I don't know. I came through town this morning at about 5 o'clock, and the thermometer on the bank thing said 81 degrees. So
what's up?
It didn't cool down much overnight.
So. No.
He's up to 88 when I come through at 8:30.
Well, it's July. If this sort of weather happens in January, we're in big trouble. Yeah. But if it happens in July, we're okay.
By the way, you said today's a special day.
Today's a special day. I think it's a special day because I agree with you. I'm a space geeko, okay? I freely admit I'm a geek because this is the day that the anniversary of man landing on the moon.
What number anniversary?
This would be the 43rd.
43rd anniversary.
43rd. So 42nd.
Of the Eagle Has Landed.
Eagle Has Landed in Tranquility Base, yes.
That's really unbelievable to think it's been that long.
I was a little kid, but I remember it on one channel of television. Mm-hmm. This is Walter Cronkite, you know.
And actually, I was flipping back and forth between a couple of different channels because we had just, and I'll make this as quick as possible, we had just purchased a TV that had UHFs on it.
Oh, wow.
So we were able to get that really crystal clear signal. Now, it wasn't Walter Cronkite. I think it was Jules Bergman on ABC.
Yeah.
So I was flipping back and forth between that.
But
I watched the entire 30-hour coverage.
Oh, it was nonstop.
Sick as a dog. I had an ear infection, and I laid on the rug in my living room in the house that I live in now and watched the whole thing. So, yeah. I was absolutely fascinated.
I can't remember this specifically, but I do think that they picked the coverage up after certain stations went off the air.
Sure, yes, yeah.
And
yeah.
So that when they went off the air, that was the last thing seen and the first thing you saw when it came back on.
Yeah, yeah. And some stations basically signed off and were sorry that they did.
Yeah.
Because they missed some stuff. So
yeah.
Because if you remember, they didn't actually step on the moon till late in the evening on that Sunday. So anyway. I think it should be a national holiday, but that's just me. I'm a geek, so I freely admit it. So
I can remember when you talk of Walter Cronkite, I can remember the old TV series Laugh In, and
mm-hmm.
and they do spoofs on people in there. And I forget who the guy was, but he always said, "This is Walter Crankshaft."
Crankshaft, yes, yes. Hey, and by the way, Walter Cronkite and CBS blew it, because if you remember right, Neil Armstrong had to take manual control of the lunar module and fly a little bit further before he landed. The CBS simulation actually had the limb on the moon about 43 seconds before it actually landed. So CBS TV blew it.
Well, and
how
and
about that?
How about that?
Yeah. But nobody knew it.
Today it would be ho-hum.
Till today.
Today it would be ho-hum, but 43 years ago to believe that you could leave Earth
yeah.
and land on the moon was just, well, just blew your mind.
Yeah. And when we're talking about dates and such, we were talking this morning about the day Elvis died. And,
yeah.
and you know, I can recollect that day just like it was yesterday, because I was already in the business as a young man, as a
yeah,
broadcaster.
Someone said once that the folly of youth is sometimes wasted on young people.
Yeah.
And I remember being a younger person, as yeah. what we all do, and to think about when we reminisce with the landing of the moon. Well, there's more technology in some of these cell telephones
yes.
than there was for sending that entire capsule and the whole shooting match going to the moon.
The yeah. very, 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 very basic laptop computer has more computing power than what was on the lunar module. Yes,
and that's amazing so, to me.
Yeah.
And what that little piece of equipment you can hold in the palm of your hand, the knowledge it stores inside it is just, it's unbelievable, really.
But
it is.
But and people talk about laptops and iPods and everything, but it was the mandate of the space program to make the computer small enough to fit in to a laptop situation in that lunar
and module. Still is.
And still is.
And
sure.
the driving force yeah. behind sure. even going. I think somebody said, "Well, this last is it the space shuttle it'll,
coming back tomorrow
will
be the
last one."
Yeah, yeah.
And they said, however, the impetus of the National Aeronautics and Space Administration was who put the bounty up mm-hmm. so that commercial and privateers sure. could get into space exploration.
Sure. And, you know, and I think Richard Branson, the guy from Virgin Records, is probably going to be the dude to do it.
He may.
He's got billions and billions of dollars, and he's built him a spaceport and everything. So, you know, who knows what the future's going
to
bring.
It's like the Dutch West India Company. I mean, it's like...
Well, I mean, it's a page in history, isn't it?
It is. When we were discussing Neil Armstrong, I mean... it's like Columbus coming to the New World, and you start thinking, wow, you know, there's, you know, here we live to a certain degree of apathy where we've seen that perhaps done better as a Steven Spielberg movie.
Yeah.
But I remember watching an old Sony Trinitron television that had a vertical roll problem.
Yeah.
And it was black and white, and watching every once in a while the audio would cut out when there was that loud beep coming over. And you saw what looked like these little ghost-like figure of Neil Armstrong stepping down the ladder, and you thought, "Wow!" You know. Then you had the bright idea later tonight when you look up at the moon. Maybe if you squinted your eyes hard enough, that maybe you could actually try to envision what that was looking like up there.
Yeah, that was an interesting time, to say the least. As it was Charles Dickens, The Tale of Two Cities. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. For the country at that.
Well, and you know, maybe so. Maybe we've gotten to where we're so apathetic about that and this, and yeah. it's not so much going to the moon. There's people that don't even know their neighbors.
True, you're right. You're right.
I don't know if their house caught on fire, I wouldn't even know the number to call them. You know, because they don't see them. They don't.
It's this 911 thing.
Yeah.
Know?
Well, you know, I mean,
sure,
we've become so. What do you call it? Compartmentalized in what we do. We don't, you know.
And we don't want to get involved because we don't want to be involved in a lawsuit.
Right. And how'd that happen?
that's
sign of the times.
Sign of the times. You know what? I don't think we've played our commercial yet. Our good friend Terry Plummer, Plummer Funeral Home, sponsoring the program.
Sorry, Terry.
Hey, nah, he understands. We're full of it. he knows. He completely understands. Trust me. But we'll be back to continue this interesting conversation in 30 seconds.
At Plummer Funeral Home, we've been helping local families make final arrangements in advance for many years. We can help you plan ahead so that when our services are needed, everything will be in order and your family can begin the healing process without the burdens of having to make arrangements at the time of need. At Plummer Funeral Home, we make funeral planning easy for you. Plummer Funeral Home, the locally owned hometown funeral home, your neighbor, and your friend.
Well, we're back on the Wednesday Morning Talk Show. Hope you enjoyed our little discussion about Moon Day and whatever else we got into. And let's talk a little bit about what's coming up on the final concert. Steve, you're always the guy that tops it off as far as the summer concert.
I'm just happy to be on the billing.
Yeah.
You know? It's always been traditionally a good time. Benilde, Illinois, small bedroom community, kind of a suburb of Gillespie, if you want to say. It's a suburb of St. Louis, if you think about those that commute to whatever workplace they have.
And actually, for Benilde people, Gillespie is a suburb of Benilde.
Well, that's right.
There you go.
That's right.
So, you know.
Just all on which
side. That street goes both ways.
Yeah.
Nice. Phones are ringing already.
Nah, they're not.
Nice park pavilion, concrete floor, and it's nice. People bring their lawn chairs and nice staging area. And
it's a great part of Americana, which continues to disappear, although I think in smaller towns we're seeing more and more of the concerts and this sort of thing coming.
Well, and
back.
I'm happy for that. I've weathered the storm when there was only us, and now there's a few more of them. Mm-hmm. There are a few more of them. I think good ideas sometimes catch on, and sometimes if somebody's a young person and they have never seen this in their lifetime, it becomes new to them. Some of us who remember these back before the days of other entertainment venues. I mean, there's people that remember vaudeville. And at one time, I'm guessing both Gillespie and Benilde perhaps had a large shopping district that included a theater. Mm-hmm. You know, and I know this to be a fact.
Sure.
And this is a decline. And had to be able to produce an entertaining show, which is for all ages, you know.
And that's the neat thing about the persona and the music that you're involved in. It has transcended generations and will continue to transcend generations.
And I've discovered this through my own exploration, if you will, on the Moon Day.
Mm-hmm.
We take it for granted over here. We have, first off, I think a lot of us take it for granted that when we turn on the tap, we're going to hit cool, clean drinking water. When I've played my show overseas in places, I mean, there's places you wouldn't dare drink that water coming out of the tap because it's got about five minutes of purged brown sludge comes pouring out.
Kind of like the water in the third Back to the Future movie,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Brown.
But having said that,
yeah,
you know, the American icon of Elvis Presley is a beloved individual to people who don't take it for granted. When I kind of consider myself an ambassador of this icon. Those are pretty big shoes to fill. But
and you didn't know what you were getting into, did
you?
No,
I honestly didn't. But I actually don't take that responsibility lightly. You know, be it in Benilde, Illinois, which is home, I call it the hometown crowd, or playing in places like Covent Garden, England. You know, they don't get that brand of entertainment every day. And so when I played over there, there was even what would appear to be a small venue like Benilde City Park became suddenly huge. Covent Garden, I mean, there was within a few minutes we had several thousand people showed up, and then all of a sudden the police showed up.
Oh, well.
And then I'm the foreigner,
yeah,
you know, and I don't want to cause any civil disturbance in what would be a foreign country. But it didn't take long for us to, you know, if we finished our little stunt, if the promoter wanted to do a stunt, well, we succeeded. And next thing you know, we're in the cab back to the hotel. But it was, as I was driving away, I thought, wow, these people are taking heed to this. You know, if I did something like this in a small venue like, you know, in the heartland of America, they may not pay as close attention to that. But I enjoy it. The big time's where you make it. You know, it's Benilde. I'm blessed with work. We play at Argosy Casino with my band, and we're going to be with my band here in this very same venue later this year.
Steve, a lot of artists who have made it to the big time, no matter what genre of music they are into, will often talk about, yes, we've made it to the big time, but their favorite spots are the little more quaint and intimate spots
right
to perform.
Well, present company included. On many times we've discussed even this radio station, WSMI. You know, I hearken back to the Loretta Lynn bio movie with Sissy Spacek, you know, coal miner's daughter, when Dooley was trying to get her records played, they'd look for a radio antenna and then park themselves underneath where the station was, kind of to see if they could get a spin on Loretta's newest hit. In many ways, the charm of old American radio is in this facility, and I like that. I like the fact that the history of of well, it is. It's a public trust, and I think yeah. at one time, I could be wrong, the FCC actually issued licenses based on the fact that you showed character as a communication mouthpiece for civil disturbance, civil, you know, I mean, I think to a certain degree you still do.
And no matter how other radio stations and other broadcast outlets perceive that, mm-hmm. we still take that very seriously. We're in the process of doing some renewal now for a license, and, I mean, we take that very seriously as far as our involvement.
I happen to like that. Other large corporate entities who own just, you know, an entire legion of radio stations, you're dealing with young people who don't know who the icon of Elvis Presley is, and you walk in, you have to introduce yourself, and then you have to introduce them to who you do, and then the decisions for the programming are made at the home office in New York, and it's all done via satellite. There's no live people you're dealing with, and that takes away the community-based service of what this industry, in my opinion, should be.
Yeah. It's home.
And I think when Terry talks about this radio station, you can sum it up in looking at the call letters. We serve Mid-Illinois. That's what it's all about.
What it stands for, yeah.
Well, and there you go. That credo's not been lost over these many, almost, what, 50 years?
60. 60.
See, I didn't attend the meeting. I apologize.
60 for the AM station,
wow.
50 for WSMI-FM, and a dozen years now for WLX.
Well, I'm guessing is it AM, the 60-year station?
Yeah, yes.
So it predates the FM.
We are here on AM 1540, which went on the air in November of 1950. So it's an incredible bit of, I guess, history of service.
And you guys have always had a community presence. And I would be remiss if I was invited to this community that obviously here I am, you know, every 4 months. I like it here.
And we enjoy having you pop in because we never know where the conversation is going to go.
We never know.
Probably the best thing.
Well, sure.
We got going. Before we get any further, Steve, Mickey's with us, and we haven't said anything to Mickey, but Mickey, we want to promote the obviously the final concert next week at the Bunnell Park. You've got the Fall Festival coming up along with that, the Tour de Donut. Kind of give us a... Or Tour de Coal, I'm sorry.
Tour de Donut.
Well, that was held 2 weeks ago.
That was 2 weeks ago, yes.
1,600 riders.
Yeah.
1,600 riders.
Yeah.
And where did you go?
A lot of donuts.
32 miles.
That was a 32-mile ride. And you actually take 5 minutes off of your time for every donut that you eat. But this
Are
is
you
not,
serious?
Yeah. But that's a competition. This Tour de Coal is more of a family.
A family ride. It's no race.
Right.
It's a family ride. And every year we keep increasing. We just fell short of 500 riders last year.
That's amazing.
And unless we get another heat wave that day, they start out at 7 o'clock, and hopefully we'll get over that 500.
Yeah.
But that's just one thing going on that day.
And, you know, and that's a neat thing because there's really no expense or very little expense involved in participating in that. And it's a great family thing.
Yeah, and you'd be surprised how far the riders come from, too.
Yeah.
We have we had a group of 18 riders from Washington University Medical Center, a big group there. We also
looking for people along the way who've fallen off their bikes. We can use that one to experiment on.
Yeah.
Sorry. Oh my God.
We have the Hannibal Quincy Bicycle Club coming in every year. Last year they camped out at the park night before. There's 19 of them. And there's two ladies that comes in from Canton, Ohio, every year now. This will be our third year. They already sent their registration forms in. Mm. And you can go to register. You can go on our coalcountrychamber.com website and download our active network and register online there.
That's really neat.
Just go to coalcountrychamber.com for any information on the Fall Festival. We're loading that thing every day.
13 years you've been, this is the 13th year of doing this. This is amazing. It's started off just a little bitty thing, and now it continues to grow. And of course, Steve will be part of that as well, along with a lot of other entertainment.
Straight 8 hours entertainment.
Joe going to open up shop for us?
Joe's going to open
Joe
up
Powell?
Shop.
Yeah.
At 7 o'clock, and we're not telling telling the public, but we don't ask them to come out. That's more of the vendors who are setting up everything morning.
That's the mood setter.
Okay, that's a good way to say it. I'll remember that.
Joe puts us in a good mood.
Well, he does.
8 hours.
Yeah, he's a great
guy. Will Black Orchestra, the Heartland Band, That was last night in it with the 14-year-old fiddler player. They play, and boy, they were dripping there.
Dynamite player.
Yeah, yeah.
And, of course, Steve and his band.
And the neat thing about the Fall Festival is there's constant music, constant entertainment.
Yeah, you don't have no two-hour break or an hour.
No.
We have it set up that we switch bands pretty quick.
We do. I'm pretty pleased with
it. It's quicker than Ed Sullivan ever did.
Well, yeah. Mickey's kind of produced this cornucopia, if you will. He's like
how
your,
do you spell that, Steve?
Well, he's like our local P.T. Barnum. In addition to the Midway, which includes, I think they're going to have some animals.
Yeah.
The animal
critters.
Show? The critters.
Well, we're still working on that.
Well, I'm not telling you which animals they are.
That's right.
I'm just telling you it's always been an event which grandparents can bring the grandkids and the older adults who don't get out much. They don't have to worry about a lot of stuff. They can just sit down and enjoy. And there's refreshments.
Food.
And I got to tell you
vendors,
what,
we
craft
have,
vendors.
We're going to have 85 craft vendors.
I tell you what,
I'm going to correct you for the first time in all the years I knew you.
What?
The grandparents do not bring the kids. The kids bring the grandparents.
Well, in some cases. Depends.
There's
on
a lot of cases.
Well,
like
you
that.
Know what? I think it's nice. I think it's nice that you have a demographic which goes from like 4 to 98 or higher.
Right.
that one older gentleman came up to me and he introduced himself at the end of my show, and he said he was a World War II veteran, and I was very impressed. He seemed very young, but this man was in his late 80s, early 90s, and you don't meet those people every day. You
know? We have a lot of them come in.
Yeah, you do, and I think that's really nice.
Well, and it's the latter part of September and kind of the last hurrah, so to speak, for summer concerts or summer festivals, and it all bodes well. And
When you think about it, the summer starts with Bunnell, with Italian American Days, and ends with Fall Festival.
Sure,
that's right.
That's kind of how it starts and ends.
5 months there.
Yeah,
the city of Bunnell starts it, and the pavilion is real well kept up. I mean, it's not perfect; it's still work every year. And we got to give credit to Deserve Italian American Club is the one that does most of that work down there, and we work very closely with them on the city of Bunnell Council there.
Yeah, and after last night, Mickey, I can envision 4 or 5 pedestal fans right down the center of that pavilion.
You know what? We were talking about that on Sunday, Emily and I, and we were talking about some type of fans. And I remember one time, and only one time, I went to the Muni, and I saw these big noise fans going over there, and I could not understand it. But now I understand it. But we couldn't figure out how to do that, but they were costly, number one. Number two, they made too much noise, but we were trying to figure out what to do. Next, we're going to try to figure out how to work something out for next year, and when we have that heat, we might have a couple of those fans. We always advise the bands to bring their fans in there.
Fans they got now that you could put up there are very quiet. They make scarcely any noise.
I carry one in the truck, and you can't even tell it's on, but it blows about a good 12-knot wind on you.
Just to keep the air moving.
Yeah.
Keep that dead air moving.
Well, we started talking about it Sunday, and we just couldn't figure out which kind of fan you can do.
Yeah. Guys, we're out of time. I hate this. It goes so fast when we get together with Steve and Mickey and Uncle Ralph. And
Uncle Ralph, I got to say, you look, you got the Elvis thing going on with the shades, and I'm very flattered
I'm cool.
You are cool.
Hey, he had him on last night, too.
Good for you.
He told me, the wife thinks he's really got him on for the purpose that he's looking at the other half.
Mm-hmm. Really? I think they're very cool and very stylish.
They
and
are.
I wanted to compliment you.
No, I looked all over and over about a time. I looked all over. Find a pair of glasses light enough that I could wear like in here with this eye.
Sure.
With this detached retina. And I looked all over, and wife wanted to stop at Dollar General one day, and I walked in there, and there they were.
Well, there you go.
Steve, always good to see you, my friend.
Thank you,
come back and visit us again.
I will, I promise.
You'll be at the Bunnell City Park next Tuesday evening. Mickey, thank you very much. Always a pleasure, sir.
You're welcome.
Uncle Ralph, see you on Sports Saturday.
Yeah.
Kids, we're out of time. The man, the myth, the legend, Earl Sarles up next with that opening commodity market report here on WSMI AM 1540.